Welcome to Taft Talks, a podcast from the Modern Law Firm. In this ongoing series, Taft Talks Probate, Minneapolis private client partner Bob McLeod discusses hot topics and timely information surrounding private client litigation for trusts, wills, guardianships and conservatorships, and more.
This is Bob McLeod, and on today's edition of Taft Talks Probate, we're going to talk about a new Court of Appeals decision on trust law called Swanson v. Wolf that gets into in personam and in rem jurisdiction. So let's get into it. The Minnesota Court of Appeals issued a new decision, Swanson v. Wolf, on January 30th, 2023. The court file number is A22-0688. And it's a really interesting case. And it addresses the nature of jurisdiction under trust law in Minnesota under the statute. And it analyzes in rem jurisdiction versus in personam jurisdiction. But to understand that, we have to fall back and understand a little bit of Minnesota history. Before 2016, Minnesota's primary source of law on trusts was the restatement. As the law developed, the restatement second of trusts became the law for trusts in Minnesota, particularly after passing the statute 501 capital B as in boy in the late 80s. The courts during that time consistently followed the restatement of trusts to analyze trust issues in Minnesota. But during that period of time, the jurisdiction over trusts was always based upon in rem jurisdiction. That's I-N space R-E-M, in rem jurisdiction. Now, what that had meant historically is basically that the court decides all the issues related to the property of the trust and all the issues that touch upon the trust property. So, for example, if someone wanted to know what belonged in the trust and what did not belong in the trust, they would bring a petition and ask for an accounting, and the court would determine what is trust property and what is not trust property. Additionally, if someone wanted to bring a petition to say a trustee was acting poorly or improperly, or if they wanted to remove a trustee, they would file a petition and again would plead in rem jurisdiction over the trust. And under that in rem jurisdiction, the court could remove a trustee, the court could surcharge the trustee, the court could find the trustee has done nothing wrong. Any manner of relief was generally available to the court and beneficiaries under in rem jurisdiction. There really wasn't personal jurisdiction in trust proceedings in Minnesota. Well, all that began to change with the passage of the Uniform Trust Code, or the creation of the Uniform Trust Code, which comes from a scholarly group, a Uniform Laws Commission. This Uniform Trust Code was created, and some states passed it exactly as it was written, some states passed it with significant changes, and other states with only modest changes. Now, Minnesota created a committee to sit down and really carefully review the Minnesota or the Uniform Trust Code to apply to Minnesota, and they eventually came up with a statute that was eventually passed into law. That is basically the Minnesota Uniform Trust Code or the Minnesota Trust Code. It's very similar to the Uniform Trust Code, but it has differences. But one important feature of the Minnesota Trust Code passed in 2016 is that it still has in rem jurisdiction, but it also added in personam jurisdiction. Now, in personam is also another fancy word for the court has jurisdiction over you personally as a person. Not just the property of the trust, but also a very specific jurisdiction over an actual person in the trust. Now, this distinction has become pretty important after this new case. What happened in this particular case was a person filed a petition to remove the acting trustee of a trust. and this petition was filed under what's called in rem jurisdiction. Now, normally for an in rem jurisdiction proceeding, you file a petition, you get a hearing scheduled, a notice of hearing, notice and order of hearing, you publish the notice and order for hearing, and you serve the notice and order for hearing on the relevant parties. And there are some timelines for each of those particular notice requirements. With regard to in personam jurisdiction, if you filed a petition in personam, you would also file a petition and get a notice and order for hearing, and you'd have to have the notice and order for hearing, along with the petition, served upon the individual persons that you want the court to take jurisdiction over. Now, in this particular case, they filed a petition with in rem jurisdiction. The trustee, who was opposing being removed, objected, arguing, you can't do that with an in rem proceeding. If you want to remove me personally, that's something against me personally. Therefore, you have to bring your petition in personam under the different jurisdictional statute. At this point, I should note that if the petition is silent on what type of jurisdiction it is, the statute presumes it's in rem jurisdiction. In this particular case, even though the petition was subsequently amended to try to take in personam jurisdiction of the matter, the petition and notice of hearing were not properly served on the trustee. So in personam jurisdiction was not perfected. The Court of Appeals, after looking at this situation, determined that the district court did not have jurisdiction personally over the trustee, and therefore did not have jurisdiction to be able to issue an order removing the trustee, because the court found that was a personal matter requiring personal jurisdiction. Now, the Minnesota Trust Code is found in Chapter 501, capital C for Charlie. And in those provisions, the court talked about that there are about 24 types of causes of action you can bring in the trust code. And that's found in 501C.0202, or abbreviated Section 202. The Court of Appeals noted that within those 24 different items or causes for relief, Section 202 does not specifically say which items require in rem jurisdiction or which items require in personam jurisdiction. And therefore, the petition needs to clearly establish the proper jurisdiction to be able to exercise the relief contained in the petition. Now, the other party in this case argued that there are several statutes where the court has the power to remove a trustee on their own initiative and to take various other actions, and these have been historically done in rem or under in rem jurisdiction. And the Court of Appeals noted it's true that these different statutes give the court the power to remove a trustee on its own initiative, for example, but that doesn't mean the court can ignore the requirement of proper jurisdiction before taking such action. Or more simply put, yes, a court can remove a trustee on its own action, but only if it's brought in personam first. So you can't have one without the other. And the court kind of made that point. In rem jurisdiction is not the same as in personam, and you can't conflate or collapse those two together to say the court can do anything at any time under either jurisdiction. So this case is going to be interesting. I think it'll catch a lot of practitioners by surprise, I think, primarily because we've historically been so used to being able to get appropriate forms of relief under in rem jurisdiction. And now we're going to have to carefully determine whether in rem jurisdiction applies or in personam. My guess is you'll start seeing an awful lot of petitions invoking both jurisdictions and seeking to serve a lot more parties to a trust proceeding with personal service. I don't know that. This has a lot to shake out still. And every time an important case like this comes out, for all we know, there'll be an appeal to the Supreme Court. And if the Supreme Court takes it, they might very well change their mind and say the decision wasn't quite right and give us a new angle to look at this. So for the moment, this appears to be the law in the state. If it goes to the Supreme Court, we might get a new law, and we'll certainly cover that in the next Taft Talks Probate after the decision comes out. Until then, I look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you for listening to Tap Talks. If you liked this episode, leave us a review and make sure to subscribe to stay up to date with the modern law firm. This podcast provides general information related to the law. Tap Talks is not providing legal advice and does not establish an attorney-client relationship. The opinions expressed on Tap Talks belong to the individual attorneys on the program and do not necessarily reflect the firm's position. For questions and comments, please contact podcast@taftlaw.com. Additional information about Taft can be found at taftlaw.com.